Terrific. Thank you.
I thought before Greg preached to us this evening, we might ask him a few questions and get to know him. So, Greg, how long have you been at TIA?
23 years.
23 years.
Yeah, I started when I was five.
And can you explain to us what your role is at TIA?
Yeah, my role currently is called the Director of National Engagement. So that's heading up all of our work in Australia that relates with churches and individuals, fundraising, our advocacy work and our church engagement work.
Great. Mm. And what do you like to do in your spare time?
I love to garden. My wife and I have a large garden, and so we grow fruit and veggies and flowers as well. So I love that. And I love walking our dog, our Labrador. She's a good company. And I like cricket.
Very good. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to give you some quick fire questions. Okay. You've got to choose one or the other out of two.
Okay.
See how we go. All right. Cheese or chocolate?
Chocolate.
Melbourne or Collingwood?
Geelong.
Asia or Europe?
Asia. But Europe's good too.
Europe is good. Very good.
You're about to head there?
I am about to head there. Monday or Sunday?
Sunday.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
I think that's enough. Great. I'm going to hand over to you.
Thank you so much. I'll just grab my notes. Well, that wasn't so bad. I was expecting a more intense grilling, but I think we survived. Well, it is truly wonderful to have the opportunity to be able to share with you here at St. Hilary's this evening. This is a church, and I know many of you as individuals who have supported Tear Fund for decades. In fact, looking at the records this week at the database, I wonder if someone can guess how much as a church you have donated. Now, this database only goes back 20 years, and so before that, our database was a little bit sketchier. So it's more than this. But have a guess in the last, since 2000, how much as a church, and if I had prizes, I should have thought about this, but I don't have prizes. But anyway, have a guess how much as a church you might have donated. Closest, just have it. More than 200? More than 400? This is like an auction. close, just over $700,000 has been donated by this church. As a church, that's through programs like the one we've just heard about in Pakistan, through the useful gift shop that people buy, the Christmas cards. All of that together over the last 24 years is just on $700,000. It's an incredible achievement. And I know on top of that, many people also individually support Tear Fund as well. There's also been many staff who have come from this church who have worked for Tear Fund, and currently we have a board member here of Tear Fund, Doug, sitting here, so I need to mind what I say. But just on behalf of Tear Fund, let me just say how thankful we are for that support. The work in Pakistan, our work around the world, relies on Christians and churches individually and collectively like this, donating and faithfully giving. This work doesn't happen without this sort of support. And so today, as part of Mission Sunday, it's a fantastic opportunity to be able to say, firstly, thank you. And it's a real honour to be able to be here and share with you this morning, or this evening, I should say. Now, this reading that I've chosen today for us from the end of Mark's Gospel, I was reflecting on what to share with you and where to start, and it seemed appropriate in a number of ways. Easter is not too long ago, and I know as a church, I think it's next week, is that right, Amanda? You start on your new post-Easter series on Revelation, so it felt like Easter was still in the back of our minds, and so I thought that fits. But the theme and the invitation, I think, embedded in this reading is something that I think is really important for us to wrestle with in our time today in this world. And that's that theme of be not afraid. Let's not be overwhelmed and alarmed. Be not afraid is the invitation that we get to wrestle with tonight. What does that mean for us in a world where fear increasingly feels like the response, the appropriate response, whether that's here in Australia or when we look at the world and the many catastrophes, the many conflicts, the many crises? What does it mean to be people who are not afraid, to be people who are not overwhelmed, to feel like, what on earth can we do? What on earth can I do? And so when I was reflecting on what to share with you, that passage came to mind, and so we'll dive into that this evening. But I wanted to, before we pull that apart, I wanted to paint a little bit of a picture of some of what the world that Tear Fund works in and our partners, like the project in Pakistan that St. Hilary's supports. What is the world that confronts many of the world's poorest communities today? Well, we know that globally conflict is on the rise. When we add conflict with some of the other global forces that are increasingly emerging, including pandemics, and we know all too much about those over the last few years, climate change and increasing natural disasters, what we see is a cascading and unfolding series of crises that those in the UN or the technical sort of experts would call a polycrisis. And what they mean by this is that one crisis is making other crises worse. And so over the last few years, the global trend that had been tracking and we'd seen improvement in the number of people who were undernourished and poorest in the world, that had been improving. Unfortunately, over the last few years, that's been going in reverse. It's been like a handbrake. These global crises have been making things worse. And all the good work that has been done, some of that has started to go backwards. In 2022, a record high of more than 100 million people were displaced as a result of war, violence, persecution, or human rights abuses. And since 2007, the number of people living near conflict has doubled. Between 2015 and 2022, the number of people requiring humanitarian assistance has increased by 250%. And I don't have to paint some of the scenarios, you will know. Obviously, Gaza is in our mind, but what about other places like Myanmar or Somalia, Sudan, some of these places, Syria? And you can probably add many others that you might be thinking of. Tear Fund, and one of the focuses of our work as an organisation, is to work where poverty and injustice are at their most acute in the world. We call these the hard places. So as an organisation, we have moved from some countries that still have poverty, but it's not as acute as in other places, and put more of our focus, more of our resources in these places that we call hard places. And in 2022 to 2023, so in the last financial year, more than 300,000 people were directly impacted through the work of Tear Fund's projects in conflict-afflicted areas. Tear Fund's mission is to work alongside the local church, like the Diocese of Hyderabad, that the project we heard about earlier, in these hard places to bring hope in the midst of darkness. And we sang about that just before. Today, that means we work in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, which is also a place where there's ongoing conflict and trouble. In Myanmar, we work in West Papua. We work in Sudan. We work in South Sudan. We work in Yemen. We work in Somalia. We work in northern Uganda. and Mozambique, some of the hot spots of our world, places that if you turn on the 7 o'clock news or the 6 o'clock news, you would think these places are godforsaken. These places, there's no hope. These places are full of fear, and certainly there is fear, and certainly there is trouble. But I guess I'm here tonight to say that through the local church, in its different exposures, its different characteristics, through the local church and through the support of Tear Fund and through the support that churches like you give to organisations like Tear Fund, there is hope. There is hope. These challenges are not the end of the story. These places are not God forsaken. God is at work. And that is what we can celebrate tonight. So the story tonight is a story of uncertainty. It's a story of how we respond to fear. I don't know about you, but you will all know, and have heard about the flight or fight response when people are confronted with fear. I wasn't sure what I was until I was on a trip one time in India. I was visiting some of Tear Fund's projects there, and on a down day, my colleague and I went to a market in New Delhi. We were visiting projects there, and so we spent some time just at a market looking at some of the homewares and some of the clothing, etc. And I was just busy looking at some of these clothes. And all of a sudden, I turned around, and here was a man with a cane basket, and thrust this cane basket in front of me. And then he lifts the lid of the cane basket, and all of a sudden, out jumps this cobra. And I quickly discovered that I was a flight person, because no sooner had the snake come out of the basket than I was three shops down and left my colleague standing there by themselves. So flight or fight. But what about from a discipleship response? What's the invitation? What's our response as disciples when we feel fearful? The passage tonight starts off with the women returning on the Sunday morning to the tomb. Now, I don't know who they thought was going to roll away the stone, but they clearly hadn't thought too much about it until they got there and discovered someone else had done it for them. And the interesting thing about this story is that they become fearful and alarmed when they discover that what they thought was certain was now uncertain. When they discover what they thought was the end of the story, that Jesus was going to be dead and buried, was actually no longer, that the story didn't end there. And so the words are really clear. It was at that point that they became alarmed. It's at that point that they became fearful. The empty tomb is the invitation for us as Christians. The empty tomb is the great embodiment of the resurrection story, to say that the story of death has been overcome. But it's also the great challenge for us. And the passage goes on to say that we are now invited into that story. The women were invited to go back and tell what? That the story didn't end. The story didn't end. You need to return to Galilee, and the story now involves you. The story now involves you. This hope that you had put yourself in and then become disappointed because of Jesus' death, this hope continues. But it only continues when you and me and every one of us continue to live into that story. A number of years ago, my family and I, I was on long service leave, which I know Amanda's about to go on long service leave. And so we were up in North Queensland and we visited a place called Mossman Gorge. Has anyone been Mossman Gorge? Well, a number of people. I'd have to say it's one of the most amazing places in the world that I've visited, at least, Mossman Gorge. Totally beautiful and very special. Those of you who haven't been there, beautiful rainforest just before the Dane Tree, and very sacred place to the local Aboriginal people. And we went out there, and you can go to a number of the water holes and swim. And so we were doing that. We'd taken our lunch, and we put our lunch down on the side of the water hole. And together with a whole number of other people, we started to go for a swim in one of these water holes. And it was beautiful. The water is, it's hard to describe, but it's all sort of ethereal. It's so beautifully clean, and the whole surround is one of the most lovely places I've ever been to. And so here we are having this lovely time, and at this point I had a couple of young children, and we're having this most beautiful occasion, swimming in what is really a Garden of Eden. And then I turn around, and I turn back to where we'd put our food. And there I see two, I think they're called bush turkeys, eating our lunch, interrupting our Garden of Eden experience. But that wasn't the injustice. The injustice was there was two or three people standing over there looking at the bush turkeys, eating our lunch, taking photos and not doing anything about it. And I thought to myself later, because at that time I was a bit upset, but later I reflected, you know, there's a lot in that. In this beautiful Garden of Eden that we call Earth, injustice happens. Things don't go to plan. Bush turkeys eat your lunch, and much worse. The world isn't as it should be. Girls don't get the education they deserve unless programs like the one we just heard about tonight happen. People become displaced. Tyrants rule in places like Myanmar, in Afghanistan, and many other places. And it can become overwhelming for many of us, can't it? When we look at the news, most of us, I think, often feel like there's nothing we can do. And I think certainly when we feel alone, that is what happens. If we try and think about how to respond alone, it's often that response of feeling overwhelmed, of feeling disempowered, of feeling like it's all too much. But the story of the bush turkeys is that we do always have some type of choice in how we respond. Injustice happens everywhere, locally, globally, and in some way we've always got a response that we can make. The invitation of the passage tonight is to be not afraid. The invitation of the passage tonight is to go back to the work of following faithfully Jesus' invitation to return to Galilee, to return to the work of caring for the poor, of seeking to love the broken, to include the outsider into our communities, and to be people of hope, to be people of hope. And I think it's lovely. I was just reading the words on your bags about being people of hope in the local community. This is not an easy invitation in our world today. This is the work that Tear Fund and many of the other agencies that you're supporting through this mission month are seeking to do. To be people of hope in our world today is a real challenge. but it's one that as individuals and as a church, that despite our fear, despite feeling overwhelmed, despite the 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock news, that these places aren't God forsaken. That we actually, if we dig a little bit below the surface, we can hear about the stories that are happening in Pakistan. If we dig a little bit below the surface and read Tear Funds magazine, and I brought some copies out the back, you can hear about the work that our partners are doing in Afghanistan. If you dig a little bit below the surface, you can read about what we're doing despite the military junta in Myanmar. Yeah, these are places where fear and uncertainty feel overwhelming. But God is at work. And God calls us to continually step into that work. God doesn't call us to be God and to make the world a better place ourselves. God calls us to be faithful and do what we can individually and collectively. Mark's gospel is interesting because those of you who know it well know there's two endings. There was an ending that we read tonight, which is where it originally used to end. And then some years later, and scholars will pull this apart, they added a longer ending to make everyone feel a little bit better and a bit more positive, because it ends the first version with uncertainty. It ends with the invitation to return to Galilee, to continue the work. Oftentimes, after working for 24 years for Tear Fund, I wish I had that second version where I could say everything's going to be all right. But Jesus doesn't offer that as our invitation or the certainty. Jesus offers himself, and our invitation is to step and move towards Jesus together. And so tonight, that's my invitation to you. What does it look like to be people of hope? What does it look like to be people who move beyond fear that is so pervasive in our communities today? What does it look like to do that as individuals and as a church? This is something I know this church has done for many years, as we spoke out, but this is something that we need to continually cultivate and grow in ourselves and together. There's a couple of things I wanted to just share with you by way of practical suggestions. Firstly, the work of Tear Fund is, I think, an antidote to the horrible news that we read about or see most nights on our TV screens. And so I think the challenge is for us to think about how we are tapping into that good news instead of just the bad news, how we are ensuring that our minds are transformed, as the Apostle Paul talks about. Tear Fund has magazines that you are free to take that are full of stories of good news, stories of transformation. I'll invite you to take a copy, and if you'd like to receive that regularly, feel free to sign up. We also have monthly emails that you can get. Now, I'm sure many of you get bombarded with emails, but there is something, I think, a principle or a discipleship practice where we need to continually be hearing these stories of good news, of what the church is doing in our world today. Alongside that, there are prayer points. Many of us don't feel like we can give too much more, do too much more, but all of us can pray. We can pray for Pakistan. We can pray for Myanmar. We can pray for Somalia or Sudan. And finally, one of the other aspects of Tear Fund's work is that we are working to address structural issues that impact the world's poor. And one of those is plastic waste. We all know about plastic waste in Australia, but plastic waste is a massive issue around the world, clogging up rivers, making people sick, making communities sick. And so Tear Fund around the world have been working to lobby governments to change policies, and it's having a significant impact. And so on the table out there, you'll see a little postcard that I invite you to sign, and you can send that on. And that will help raise your voice to ensure that some of those structural changes that impact the most vulnerable in our world are also made. The story of Easter is past. It's now time for us to continue as Christians to step into the challenge of walking back to Galilee. That's the invitation for you, that's the invitation for me, and that's the invitation for this church to be not afraid. Let's close in prayer. Loving God, you don't give us easy answers, but you give us your love and you gave us your Son. Give us the courage to continually follow you wherever that may take us. Give us the courage to be not afraid, despite the news, despite the sense of being overwhelmed, despite the hopelessness that seems to pervade so much of our media and so much of our community today. Help us to be people of hope. Lord, I just want to thank you for St. Hilary's, for their faithfulness, and we just pray your blessing upon each and every one of them this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.